He said, now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, and the fierceness of his wrath may be turned away from you. For if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive. See, even in your rebellion, if you'll turn again to the Lord, you and your children will find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him. God said, I'll even make your enemies or your captors have compassion on you. Praise God, in your captivity because of your backsliding. Now in Nehemiah the 9th chapter, we find this come to pass. It has come to pass, we find Nehemiah here as he's preaching here to these people and telling them what's actually happened to them in the 9th chapter of Nehemiah. In verse 26, 27, and 28, he said, nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee, and cast thy law behind their backs, and slew thy prophets which testified against them to turn them to thee. And they wrought great provocations. Therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies who vex them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven. And according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. This is the way God does with a backslider who turns with all of his heart and soul back to the Lord, even when he's among his enemies and he's being taken captive, as it were. But listen to what happened to these people. Verse 28, Nehemiah 9. But after they had rest, see, after God delivered them, they did evil again before thee. Therefore leftest thou them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had dominion over them. See, when you turn to the Lord, then you just feignedly with your lips turn to the Lord, and God knows that. He said, okay, I'll just leave you right there in the midst of your enemies. But it says, yet when they returned and cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and many times did thou deliver them according to thy mercies. Praise God for the mercies of the Lord. In Psalm 78, the Bible speaks here of this same church, and under these same deprivations, and under in their backslidings. Listen to this, beginning in verse 36. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth. This is that backslidden church. They lied unto him with their tongues. God knows when we're not telling him the truth. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time he turned he his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered they were flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Let me tell you, if anything gets God's dander anger stirred up, is when you begin to tempt him by unbelief and saying, can God do this? Listen to the same chapter, Psalm 78, in verse 17 and 18. They sin yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. They tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, here's what they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Do you mean God could even do this? Yes, God can do anything. My God can do anything. Praise God, if you'll believe him, you'll repent and commit your life to him. Romans 14 and 23 said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And it's sin when we do not believe God. That's a sin. Unbelief is sin. Hebrews 4:11 said, so then we see they cannot enter in because of unbelief. You can't enter into the good things of God in that rest through unbelief. You do it through faith and trust. And we must learn to trust God. Now when we get in a scrape, when you're backslidden, when you're having your own way, remember, a backslider in heart shall be filled with his own way. All right, there's a prophet in the Bible that was filled with his own way. His name was Jonah. And when you're filled with your own way, you're backslidden, whether you're a prophet or a saint or whatever. All right, the Bible said God called Jonah to go to Nineveh in chapter 1. So he went down and bought a ticket to go to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. God sent out a mighty tempest. They had to throw Jonah over in the sea to stop the sea from a raging to save their lives. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then in chapter 2, Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. What a smart thing to do. Praise God. It's a terrible calamity, but that's a smart thing to do. Don't be a dunce and say, well, I just can't do nothing about it. Yes, you can. You do like Jonah. Cry unto God out of the fish's belly. And he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I. And thou heardest my voice. It was just like hell to him down there. All right. Now, he went on down to the bottom of the seas and rode around for 3 days in that whale's belly. And then in verse 7, he decided he was going to do something a little more. He said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee and to thine holy temple. Isn't that what Solomon and Hezekiah and those fellows said, Lord? Said, when your people gets off and they rebel and they fall into captivity or in distress and they turn and they pray toward you in this place, he said, hear their prayer and have compassion on them and forgive them and deliver them out of the hands of their enemies. So Jonah remembered it. He said, I remembered it just when my soul fainted. Praise God. He was giving up. And here's what he did. He said, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. You sit around and believe something the Bible don't say, you're forsaking your own mercy. You've got to say, well, Lord, I believe you are merciful and full of compassion if I'll repent and turn to you in this time of grave trouble. So that's what he did. So he said, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed salvation is of the Lord. Praise God. Jonah made a vow to God. He said, I'm going to keep that vow if you'll let me out of here. When he said that, the old fish got sick and said, whoop, and up he went on the dry land. He got out of there. It don't take God all night or all day or all week to deliver you whenever you really put your trust in him. When you confess and repent and you put your total life into his hands, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to live for you. If you don't do nothing, it'll still be easier, for the way of the transgressor is so hard, Lord. Anything will be better than this. And I'll tell you, God will begin to get those wheels of deliverance into action. And sometime it don't take but a few moments for God's deliverance to begin to work. The psalmist David said in Psalm 50, 14 and 15, he said, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Then call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer thee. And will deliver thee, praise God, and thou shalt glorify me. In Psalm 66, 13 and 14, the psalmist said, I'll pay thee my vows, which my lips have spoken and my mouth have uttered when I was in trouble. When you get in trouble, the best thing to do is, like Jonah, call on the Lord and make a vow to God. Praise God, Lord, I'm going to serve you. Another thing, in Malachi 3, in verse 8, the Bible says, or it begins in verse 7, really. God said, even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances and have not obeyed me. Return unto me, and I'll return unto you, saith the Lord. But they said, wherein shall we return? And the Lord said, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me in tithes and in offerings. Bring you all, for your curse with a curse, for you have robbed me even this whole nation, saith the Lord. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. You know, we look at that and we think, oh, you're talking about money. No, that says a whole lot more than money. Did you know that? If you bring your tithes into the storehouse, so there's some meat in mine house, that's saying a whole lot. See, if you bring your tithes, it didn't say send them, it said bring them, didn't it? Bring them. If you bring them, you're going to be there in God's house. And you're going to be there the first day of the week, like the New Testament sets it forth. And when you're there, the Bible says that there will be meat in mine house. That means the meat of God's word is going to be waiting on you.